life is all about transition, isn't it? I mean, does that make sense? We were born into the world, we're thrust into the world from the comfort and the safety of our mother's womb, where we have everything we need. And then we have to live in a place where we have to learn how to sleep. We have to learn how to eat, how to pass gas, and even how to poop. And then we have to learn how to crawl, and eventually learn how to walk. Life's all about transition. And then you go to school. And then you go to junior high. It's amazing anybody makes it through that transition. And then there's puberty. Again, I don't know how that fell in for you exactly. I was kind of a late bloomer. I don't know if that's too much information. But some of you have the sad transition of like somebody that you really cared about moves away. Or there's the transition of your parents maybe going through a divorce. Or maybe the transition where somebody that you really love ended up getting a terminal illness. That transition was a blow. And then there's high school. And then you leave everything you're familiar with and you move to a new city to go to college. I mean, think about all the transitions you faced this past week. You moved into a new room. For many of you, it's a lot smaller than the room you had back home. But this one you get to share with a random person. You get to learn a whole new schedule in a whole new environment. You get to experience a whole new social scene. Mom and dad aren't peering over your shoulder providing accountability and direction anymore. And every semester from here on out, there's a bit of a transition and a challenge because you have new classes. And then you graduate and you get a job. And then you get married. And marriage is full of transitions. One of the biggest transitions in marriage is finding out how much gas your spouse has. No one passes gas when they're dating, but in marriage, you become much less reserved with your flatulence. You finally figure out marriage. And just when you start to get some traction in your relationship, you have a kid. And your life is never the same again. I have 5 children. And each time we had a child, it was a major transition. And now I have 6 other people. Sorry, I meant 6, but I had 5, only 5 fingers showing. You have 6 people in your house that are going through all kinds of transitions at different times now. And then one day, all your kids move away. And you go through another transition called being an empty nester. And then you retire, and then you die. Life is all about transition. You're at their transition right now called college. These are crazy awesome times. For me, I don't want to just survive the challenges, transitions, that transitions bring up in my life. I want to thrive. So my question for you today is, how do you thrive in the midst of transition? And as a church, we're finishing up this series that we started called Gospel Ambition. Gospel Ambition is all about making the things that Jesus was most passionate about, the priorities that Jesus had in his life, it's making those things the things that are the highest priorities in your life. I think Gospel Ambition has everything to do with thriving in transition. And here's why. The gospel has everything to do with your life as a follower of Jesus. It's the most important thing. It's the big picture. And so how do you keep the most important thing, which is Jesus and the gospel message? How do you keep the most important thing, the most important thing in your life? Well, I think you need some anchors. How many of you guys have spent time boating this summer? I love to boat. Go ahead and raise your hand. This is a little bit of audience participation. Good. My 2-year-old, when she talks about the boat, she says, boat. She loves the boat. And if you've ever been on a boat, you realize that it's virtually impossible for a boat to stand still. You've got all kinds of factors influencing the boat. You've got wind. You've got current. And you've got, sometimes you get storms. And so without a good anchor, you're You're going to be pushed and blown and rocked. And the same is true for your life. You need an anchor to hold you. As the currents of culture attempt to influence the trajectory of your life. As the winds of change try to disorient you. And as the storms of life attempt to sink you. And so I've got three anchors that I think God has given us to help us thrive in transition, because life is all about transition. And the first anchor is this, it's the gospel. Now, if you're new with us, we talk about Jesus and the gospel a ton in this church. Jesus is the hero of Riverview. He's the hero of the Christian faith. And the gospel message is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Broken, sinful people like you and me can have a relationship with God. We can be reconnected with God. And because of the death of Jesus, if you've trusted in his work on the cross, you are fully acceptable to him because of Jesus. And so, I'm going to look at it. One of the first passages we're going to look at is in Hebrews. And when the writer of Hebrews wrote this, I think he would agree that the gospel is a rock-solid anchor for our lives. Hebrews says that Jesus was the perfect sacrifice, and that by his one sacrifice, people who trust in him, who put their faith in Christ, are reconciled to God forever. And this is what that Hebrews passage says. It's Hebrews 10:14. The writer says this, "For by a single offering," in other words, Jesus, when he died on the cross, it was a one-time sacrifice. It was a perfect sacrifice. "For by a single offering, he," Jesus, "has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified." In other words, he made you perfect before a holy God forever through that one sacrifice. And now, after he's done that, now you have this process in your life called sanctification, which is the process that over the course of your life, you are going to grow and mature and you're going to become more like Jesus. So the gospel is an anchor because it gives us perspective about life. It reminds us that we have a secure relationship with God. It also reminds us that our eternal future is settled. So maybe this week, I don't know again what your week was like. I mean, I kind of had a bit of a crazy week. Maybe it's been real challenging. You know, maybe this season of your life has been really challenging. Maybe you've gone through way more transitions than you would ever desire to go through. The gospel anchor holds us as we go through a trial by reminding us that we're secure in the love of God. And the biggest question in life has been settled. The question of our eternity. And so you're going through some tough transitions. Maybe not this week. Maybe this year. And I don't want to minimize them at all, but if you're in Christ, your eternal future is secure. I mean, you're forever accepted by the God of the universe. That is a big deal. You need to spend time thinking about that. The reason that anchor holds firm is because the God who made that promise to you holds firm. Okay, now that's a perspective you can have if you're already a follower of Jesus. But what if you're here this morning and you're not sure about your faith? Well, for one, we're super excited that you joined us. In this church, we want people who aren't sure about the details of the Christian faith, we'd love for you to come to everything we do. You're invited to all the stuff we do. And afterward, I'd love to meet you in the lobby. I'd love to connect with you, and I've got a special gift for you. Just come up and talk to me. If you've never responded to Jesus before, the gospel is the best foundation that you could ever have in your life. And here's the kicker. The gospel isn't just for the person who isn't a Christian yet. It's for me, who became a Christian my freshman year. And it really, what it communicates is, this is how I grew up in the faith. We're accepted by God's mercy and grace, and we trust in him by faith, and we grow up by faith. And so that's why it's a great anchor. It connects me with God forever because of the perfect sacrifice of Jesus. And it reminds me at all times that I'm fully accepted by God. When I fail, when I'm doing well, when I'm struggling emotionally, when life isn't going the way I want it to go, when I'm going through a transition and things are good, or I'm going through a transition and things really suck bad, I need this anchor. And I gotta be honest, I struggle with transition. I've got lots of stories of failure in the midst of transition. I mentioned I have five kids. Probably one of the most challenging transitions we went through in our life so far was the transition from going from two kids to three kids. It was when my daughter Anna was born. It has nothing really to do with her. It was just more of the circumstances. You go from a man-to-man defense with two kids to a zone defense with three kids. And that really threw me off. And so it was the first day home from the hospital, and Kelsey, that's my wife's name, she and I were just missing each other in communicating. And you know, add to that the fact that we didn't sleep really good for, I don't know, probably for 4 years since we had our first child. And the fact that we have a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old to make things even more complicated. So we're missing each other, and I don't even know what we were talking about. I think we were maybe arguing about, like, the baby's sleep schedule or, you know, maybe an eating schedule. And I was just so frustrated that as I walked out of the room, I punched the door, and I put a hole in it. Now, I don't know about you guys, but that's not like a really good thing for a pastor to do. I mean, you know, it's really kind of usually what happens when a pastor does that. They just figure out, I can go out and buy a door real quick and hide that. But you know, because the gospel was my anchor, I looked at that, and as I processed that failure, I thought, I'm fully acceptable to God. I don't need to hide that. And to be honest, when we moved, we left that hole in the door. It may still be there to this day. See, I need an anchor like the gospel to remind me that I'm accepted and to help me get up after I blow it and to walk in grace. Okay, so that's the first anchor. The second anchor is this, it's the church. Now you might be thinking, really? The church? I mean, all I've ever known about church is it's a service that I attended, like even like Tessa was saying, on a Sunday. Like, I couldn't wait to get out of that when I was growing up. Most people wouldn't see the church as an anchor for transition. They'd see the church as something they just went to. And that's kind of, I think, an American Christianity thing, maybe over the last couple centuries. But Jesus, when he established the church, he had a huge, awesome vision for the church. In his interaction with one of his disciples, Peter, you might be familiar with this from the Gospels, Peter says he makes this bold proclamation that Jesus is the Messiah. And as Jesus is affirming his words, he says, Peter, on this rock, the rock of the truth of what you just said, that I'm the Messiah, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell aren't going to prevail against it. And so the church would be a serious anchor to help followers of Jesus navigate through the transitions of life. The church was established to be the foundation, really, of the mission of Jesus. It's really all about gospel ambition. And so what you're looking at here, in Riverview, is really a family. And we're inviting you and every other person on this campus, all 47,000 of them, to jump in and be a part of this family with us. Now, as a quick aside, last week, one of my co-pastors, Noel, who does a ton of teaching, he's actually going to be doing a lot of teaching out here via video feed. We're going to be walking through Genesis this whole year. It's going to be awesome. But he shared a quote last week, a statistic, that in our country, 13.5 million people don't have one person that they know that's a Christian. 13.5 million. And so what that means is 13.5 million people are left to figure out what the Christian faith is all about from what they see in the media, which makes Christians out to be buffoons and idiots. And so let's be people here at MSU and LCC and wherever you're going to school. Let's say, I want to have good friendships with people who are far from God. People who aren't Christians yet. What if you made it your goal that, like, you, Lord, give me one person that I can love and serve and be intentional with and maybe help them understand the gospel message? What if that was one of your goals for this year? Well, we want to be a church where you experience the care and the love and the friendship that fosters your growth as a Christian. Well, Jesus knew that you need others to help you walk with him, and that's why he established the church. So am I suggesting that God isn't enough? No. And yes. No and yes. Don't you love when someone says that? You know, sometimes I hear worship songs that say, God, you're all I need. And that is true in one sense. But God has set up the church to meet God-given needs in our lives. I mean, the Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, he was a guy who started many of the churches in the New Testament in the first century, and he saw the church as an anchor. He viewed relationships with other Christians that he was closely connected with as essential. So much so that it even influenced how long he'd stay in certain cities. Like, I remember reading as a young Christian 17 years ago about this story, unfolding here in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Check this out. He wrote this to the church in Corinth, starting in verse 11. He said, Paul said, when I came to Troas, which is an ancient city in modern-day Turkey, to preach the gospel of Christ, even though a door was open for me in the Lord, my spirit was not at rest because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I took leave of them and went on to Macedonia. And what Paul's saying is, God opened this tremendous door for the message of the gospel. But because I didn't find the close community that I have with some other close Christian friends, like Titus, Paul said he took off and went to Macedonia. The bottom line is, you and I need each other. See, I got involved with a church like this my freshman year. And the church has been a huge help to me as I've gone through all these different transitions in my life. One huge transition that happened when I was a freshman is I became a Christian. And the church was pivotal in helping me establish a foundation for my life. And then as I began to lead a life group, I was able to consult with people and get advice from people who were more mature than I was. And that was a great help to me as well. I can't tell you how often I benefited from the community of Christians in the local church. Stuff I've run into with school, with leadership, with marriage, with parenting. I mean, you name it. The church has been an anchor to help me as I've gone through life. So now, maybe for you up to this point, that hasn't been your experience. But this is what I'm inviting you to be a part of here. Well, there's a challenge here, and it's this. You won't find this passively. You have to actively pursue it. In this church, the best place to see this played out is in life groups. Our goal since last year, again, was to train a whole bunch of life group leaders and put life groups in every dorm or every dorm neighborhood on campus. And it doesn't mean we have enough. If you want to lead a life group, we'd love to help you learn to lead a life group. But as you're transitioning to college, whichever college you're going to, probably the biggest need you have in your life right now is to find a group of like-minded Christian friends who are going to help kind of anchor you, who can help you navigate the challenges that you face here on campus over the next 4 or 5 or 6, however long it takes you to finish. And so I urge you, again, that after we're done, stick around, get to meet some people, grab some food with us. But then you have to pursue it. I benefited from Christian community in the local church because I sought it out. And when I had things come up in my life, I asked questions. I admitted I needed help. We need each other. And Jesus designed the church to be an anchor where people love and serve each other and where we remind each other of the truth of the gospel, which is in the midst of our brokenness, we're accepted by God. And that's what we want with you to be. And so as you go through life, and remember that life's all about transition, you have people walking with you through every scenario, every season. You're never alone. So we looked at the gospel as an anchor, we looked at the church as an anchor. The last anchor, and this might be, you know, like the linchpin anchor. It's, you can picture like an anchor on like the Love Boat, or since you're not familiar with that sitcom from the 80s, it's like one of those anchors on a cruise ship. The greatest anchor that you'll ever have in your life is the experiential knowledge of knowing who God is. So there's very few things that will hold you when life shifts on you in dramatic ways. But God's character stands firm regardless of the currents of culture, the stormy trials that come your way, and the winds of change that are a part of life. God's character is such a solid anchor that a famous theologian said this, A.W. Tozer said this, he said, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. And he says this, and the most important fact about any person isn't what he at any given time may say or do, but what he in his deep heart conceives God to be like. And then he said this, he says, we tend by a secret law of the soul to move toward a mental image of God. He said, the most important thing about you is what you believe to be true about God in your deep heart. Your life will be affected by whether you have an accurate perspective about God based on what the Bible teaches about him, or if you have a distorted perspective. And since life is all about transitions, the character attribute, the specific character attribute that you need to be an anchor in your life is the unchanging nature of who God is, which we call the immutability of God. That's kind of a big theological term, immutability. And you need to be rock solid on the fact that God is faithful. See, the world we live in, and this is probably a no-brainer, is constantly changing. I mean, you talk about a world that's crazy and out of control, all you have to look at is what's going on in Syria right now. I mean, we live in a world where things are held together by spider webs. Without the confidence of a faithful, powerful, almighty God who never changes, all we're left with is fear and anxiety. That's why knowing God, not just knowing about God, but really knowing God as he's revealed himself to us in his word, is an anchor in the midst of a crazy pants world. So where do you see God's faithfulness and unchanging character in the Bible? I'm just going to highlight just a couple passages. It's all over the place. Here's a couple. Again, the writer of Hebrews says this. Hebrews chapter 13. He says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So one thing we see there is that Jesus is eternal, which is one of the reasons that we hold that Jesus is fully God. He's an eternal being. He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Look at what 1 Corinthians, look what Paul says. And this is speaking more of the faithfulness of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul says, as you wait for the revealing of the Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, give us in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. God is faithful. He's faithful to his promises. He's the one that's going to sustain you to the end. One of the other, my co-pastors that teaches out at the Hope Venue, Steve, he just finished up a whole series on the character of God. If you get a chance, you need to go watch these. Go to ribchurch.com. You can watch the whole series. This is what Steve said. He said, being faithful isn't something that God does. Being faithful is something that God is. His faithfulness flows out of his character. David, Old Testament king, he wrote this about God's character in the Psalms. He said this, your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens. Your faithfulness to the clouds. In other words, God's faithfulness is immeasurable. He is completely faithful. David could build his life on the faithfulness and unchanging nature of God's character. It was an incredible anchor for his life. And David needed an anchor. His world spun out of control for years, even a decade or more. And so do we. Just two more passages to look at here. Numbers 23, Moses wrote this. He said, God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said and will he not do it? Or has he spoken and will he not fulfill it? God's not like you and me. We lie. We break our promises. But God will never break his promises. When God says something, he stands behind it. And it flows out of his character. Now, Paul held this truth out in his letter, opening statement in his letter to his close friend Titus. He said this to Titus, starting in verse 1. Paul, he said, this is his intro, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth which accords with godliness. Here's the key. He said, in hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began. In other words, when God made the promise they put forth with us in the gospel, he is going to stand behind that promise forever. But God's pictured in the Old Testament as our rock, as a fortress. He's immovable. Now, in my life, I've not only read about the faithfulness of God, I've experienced the faithfulness of God. I got married between my sophomore and junior year in college. Now you started listening, right? Crazy. We met at freshman orientation, and my wife and I, neither one of us were Christians at the time. And we became Christians our freshman year. And as part of that process of growing, we had crossed boundaries in the physical realm, and we said, hey, now that we're Christians, we are going to choose to follow what God says in his word. And so we curbed everything sexually. And then we thought, if we're going to honor God in this area of our lives and being sexually pure, there's no way that we're going to wait until we graduate. Maybe that was more me thinking that than her. So we got great premarital counseling. And then after about a year of engagement, we got married. Back then, it didn't seem so crazy. Now, if you ask me if I'd encourage you to do that, I'd say, hell no. And it's not anything about my wife. I love my wife. We had a great experience, even with the early years of our marriage. But the bottom line is, I don't know if that's going to be a good idea for a lot of people. And so now I'm 20 years old, and I've got to provide for my wife, and I'm still in college. I don't have a degree yet. And so this is crazy. My wife and I, we went door to door advertising a new landscaping and lawn maintenance business that I was going to start. And it just took off. And we made enough money in 6 months to live off for a full year. That was just a wild period of time in our life. It gets even better. After we graduated, we decided that we wanted to be missionaries, working with college students and helping plant churches focused on college students. And so we began the process of support raising. And we saw awesome things happen. Now, I can't share all the details because it would take way too long. But to this day, 15 years later, we have seen God faithfully provide for our needs. You can imagine that over 17 years of marriage and 15 years of being involved in church planting, that we've had all kinds of transitions and challenges. And I can tell you that through it all, God's character has been our anchor. And the faithful and unchanging nature of God brings us right back to where we started today with the gospel. God promised to send a Messiah all throughout the Old Testament. And that Messiah would come to rescue people from their sin. And we see God fulfill his promise to us in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And it's because of these rock-solid truths that we can build our lives on the promises of God and the character of God. See, life is all about transition. And as you walk through this year, and through all the transitions you're going to face, you can be anchored. You can be anchored by the gospel because of that perfect sacrifice that Jesus made for you. If you're in Christ, you're completely acceptable and completely accepted by God. You have peace with God, the most important peace that you could ever desire. And you can be anchored by the church. Make this the year that you establish the practice of doing life with other Christians in a local church. Serving together. Giving. And being a part of a team that's on mission together with gospel ambition. We'd love to be that place for you. But there's other great churches in the area as well. So our encouragement is get involved somewhere. And find a place that exalts the name of Jesus and the gospel, and that ranks itself under God's word as the authority for your life. And again, our emphasis this year is jump in a life group. And the third anchor is the character of God, the faithfulness and unchanging nature of who God is. God is completely faithful. He's faithful to his promises. And we see this first and foremost fulfilled in the person of Jesus. Now, the beautiful thing about being anchored is that you have a stable platform where you can jump off from and try to reach out to those around you who aren't Christians yet. All right, as I invite the welcome team to come and collect the tear-offs, this is a chance for you guys to take those tear-offs, throw them in. We actually have a couple prizes that we give out just to kind of encourage you to do that. So welcome team comes and does that. We're going to extend our time of worship here with the worship of giving. We have a goal in this venue that as God works in our lives as followers of Jesus, we would become more generous people toward him. So I just want to thank you in advance for your giving. Let's pray. God, thank you that you gave us these promises in your word, that we can stand on them. We have the promise of the gospel, that because of Jesus, we're solidly connected with you. Thanks for the promise that we have of the church, that it's a place where we can be anchored, love and serve each other, and remind each other the truth of the gospel. And thanks, too, just for your character, God, that this is who you are. You're faithful. You never change. It says your mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. We can count on you, God. Thank you for that. Lord, help us to do that all throughout this next week and even throughout this year. God, make this a banner year as we learn to live by faith. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.